Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od 1 do 3. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu pierwszego.
Text 1.
Astronauts on the International Space Station have baked the first ever cookies in space. The cookies are the first food prepared in space from raw ingredients. This is significant because eating something other than prepackaged food will be particularly important if plans to send astronauts to Mars become reality at some point in the upcoming decades. The baking took much longer than expected. More than 2 hours for each cookie. Still, the aroma was the same as the astronauts remembered from home. The cookies were sealed in individual packages and sent back to Earth. Additional testing is required to determine whether the cookies are safe to eat.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Astronauts on the International Space Station have baked the first ever cookies in space. The cookies are the first food prepared in space from raw ingredients. This is significant because eating something other than prepackaged food will be particularly important if plans to send astronauts to Mars become reality at some point in the upcoming decades. The baking took much longer than expected, more than 2 hours for each cookie. Still, the aroma was the same as the astronauts remembered from home. The cookies were sealed in individual packages and sent back to Earth. Additional testing is required to determine whether the cookies are safe to eat.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu drugiego.
Text 2.
Mr. Stretton, we need to talk about the tiger sculpture.
The tiger sculpture? Remind me where it is.
On Brisbane Street.
Oh, yes. What about it?
A woman has filed a complaint. She tripped over the tiger's leg and bruised her knees. But it could have been much worse. She wants the sculpture to be removed.
Well, probably she wasn't looking where she was going.
Actually, she was only trying to avoid being hit by a cyclist. As you know, there have been 5 or 6 similar incidents since the sculpture was installed. So perhaps we really do need to move it to another place, which is not so busy.
Do you really think so? We regularly get reports about people tripping over on pavements and steps across the city. Do you suggest we remove them as well?
How about putting the sculpture up onto a platform, like the one in Civic Square?
Well, that might be an idea.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Mr. Stretton, we need to talk about the tiger sculpture.
The tiger sculpture? Remind me where it is.
On Brisbane Street.
Oh, yes. What about it?
A woman has filed a complaint. She tripped over the tiger's leg and bruised her knees. But it could have been much worse. She wants the sculpture to be removed.
Well, probably she wasn't looking where she was going.
Actually, she was only trying to avoid being hit by a cyclist. As you know, there have been 5 or 6 similar incidents since the sculpture was installed. So perhaps we really do need to move it to another place, which is not so busy.
Do you really think so? We regularly get reports about people tripping over on pavements and steps across the city. Do you suggest we remove them as well?
How about putting the sculpture up onto a platform, like the one in Civic Square?
Well, that might be an idea.
Zapoznaj się z treścią zadania do tekstu trzeciego.
Text 3. The Appalachian Trail, North America's most famous hiking route, stretches over 3,520 kilometers through the Appalachian Mountains, crossing 14 states from Georgia to Maine. About 3 million people hike on sections of the trail each year, but the number of those who walk its whole length from end to end is much smaller. These people are known as thru-hikers. One of them is with us today. Hello, Audrey.
Good morning, everybody.
Audrey, please tell us how you got the idea of doing the trail.
Well, I grew up out in the country, and hiking was just part of my family culture. But I had never even heard of the Appalachian Trail until I read a book called A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. I read it while recovering from a back injury. I've always been a very active person, and that injury immobilized me completely. I was impressed by Bryson's description of attempting to thru-hike the trail. I promised myself that if I was ever well enough to do so, I would take up the challenge. That time came along 3 years later.
Did you hike the trail alone?
Actually, a friend of mine offered to do the hike with me. Once on the trail, we met loads of really cool people, and I still occasionally keep in touch with them via social media. I vividly remember the guy who did the last 4 days of the hike with us. To my surprise, when I finally got back home, something extraordinary was waiting for me. It was a huge map of the Appalachian Trail that a fellow thru-hiker had sent me. Now, whenever I look at the map, it reminds me of the hike and the people I met there.
And how did you train for your thru-hike?
To be honest, I didn't do any specific training, though once I was on the trail, I wished I had. We'd had a really harsh winter before the thru-hike, which made it impossible for me to do any serious hiking in the months before doing the trail. So to stay fit, I mainly walked to everywhere around town, went swimming and did yoga. I also enrolled in a marathon to motivate myself to work on my fitness, but I sprained my ankle a few weeks before it took place. For my next thru-hike, I will definitely have a real training program at a gym under the supervision of a professional. I'm certain that having someone to motivate me will make me work harder.
And the last question. What should we bear in mind when preparing for a long hike?
Train with your backpack. Getting your body used to the extra weight beforehand will help you immensely. Also, buy the lightest gear you can afford. You'll need a lot of equipment along the way, so the lighter the better.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
The Appalachian Trail, North America's most famous hiking route, stretches over 3,520 kilometers through the Appalachian Mountains, crossing 14 states from Georgia to Maine. About 3 million people hike on sections of the trail each year, but the number of those who walk its whole length from end to end is much smaller. These people are known as thru-hikers. One of them is with us today. Hello, Audrey.
Good morning, everybody.
Audrey, please tell us how you got the idea of doing the trail.
Well, I grew up out in the country, and hiking was just part of my family culture. But I had never even heard of the Appalachian Trail until I read a book called A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson. I read it while recovering from a back injury. I've always been a very active person, and that injury immobilized me completely. I was impressed by Bryson's description of attempting to thru-hike the trail. I promised myself that if I was ever well enough to do so, I would take up the challenge. That time came along 3 years later.
Did you hike the trail alone?
Actually, a friend of mine offered to do the hike with me. Once on the trail, we met loads of really cool people, and I still occasionally keep in touch with them via social media. I vividly remember the guy who did the last 4 days of the hike with us. To my surprise, when I finally got back home, something extraordinary was waiting for me. It was a huge map of the Appalachian Trail that a fellow thru-hiker had sent me. Now, whenever I look at the map, it reminds me of the hike and the people I met there.
And how did you train for your thru-hike?
To be honest, I didn't do any specific training, though once I was on the trail, I wished I had. We'd had a really harsh winter before the thru-hike, which made it impossible for me to do any serious hiking in the months before doing the trail. So to stay fit, I mainly walked to everywhere around town, went swimming and did yoga. I also enrolled in a marathon to motivate myself to work on my fitness, but I sprained my ankle a few weeks before it took place. For my next thru-hike, I will definitely have a real training program at a gym under the supervision of a professional. I'm certain that having someone to motivate me will make me work harder.
And the last question. What should we bear in mind when preparing for a long hike?
Train with your backpack. Getting your body used to the extra weight beforehand will help you immensely. Also, buy the lightest gear you can afford. You'll need a lot of equipment along the way, so the lighter the better.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One.
After 30 hours of travelling and countless hours of waiting at the airport for connecting flights, I was exhausted but happy to be home. All I wanted was to put on my pyjamas and get into my own bed. But when I opened the suitcase, my heart sank. I searched through the clothes and they didn't belong to me. I immediately checked the name on the tag. Not mine. But the suitcase and the ribbon looked exactly the same as mine. I was about to burst into tears when I received a text from a lady in my group. She had already figured out the problem. It turned out we had accidentally picked up each other's suitcases. We swapped them the next day.
Two. My colleague and I flew to Mallorca for a 5-day conference at a luxury resort. Our luggage was sent directly there. We got to our room and our luggage was already waiting for us. On the third day of the stay, I almost tripped over one of the suitcases. So I asked my roommate, "Mark, where would you like me to put it?" "I don't think it's mine," Mark replied, and opened it to make sure. It turned out that we'd had someone else's suitcase in our room for 3 days. Its owner was in the same hotel on vacation, and he was delighted to have his missing suitcase returned to him. Three.
My husband and I flew to Arizona for the weekend, and when the luggage started coming out on the belt, I thought, what is that smell? I tried to ignore it, but when we were rolling the suitcase away, the smell followed us. We realized it was coming from our suitcase. It turned out that someone had checked in a huge container full of fish, and it had leaked all over the passenger's luggage. It was awful. We immediately made a complaint. We had to get rid of our suitcase right there at the airport. The airline gave us a temporary suitcase, paid for a new one, and had all of our clothes cleaned.
Four. We were returning home from our holiday. About 30 minutes after we had left the terminal, my wife noticed that one of my bags was missing. It contained some important stuff, including my precious photographic equipment. I immediately realized that I hadn't collected it from the baggage reclaim. We rushed back to the airport. After running through the almost deserted terminal, we finally found a helpful staff member who was willing to sort out our problem. After a stressful search, we finally recovered the bag. Five.
Last summer, we went on holiday with some friends of ours. When we arrived at our destination, our friend's suitcase was already waiting for them, but our suitcase was nowhere to be seen, so we gave up and went to our hotel. We kept calling the airport every day, but every time we were told that the suitcase hadn't turned up yet. Right at the end of the holiday, the airport staff finally found it. It turned out that our suitcase had fallen off the trolley on the way from the plane to the terminal. No one seemed to have noticed it. We weren't very happy when we collected it just before boarding our plane home, but at least it wasn't damaged.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1.
After 30 hours of traveling and countless hours of waiting at the airport for connecting flights, I was exhausted but happy to be home. All I wanted was to put on my pajamas and get into my own bed. But when I opened the suitcase, my heart sank. I searched through the clothes and they didn't belong to me. I immediately checked the name on the tag. Not mine. But the suitcase and the ribbon looked exactly the same as mine. I was about to burst into tears when I received a text from a lady in my group. She had already figured out the problem. It turned out we had accidentally picked up each other's suitcases. We swapped them the next day.
Two. My colleague and I flew to Mallorca for a 5-day conference at a luxury resort. Our luggage was sent directly there. We got to our room and our luggage was already waiting for us. On the third day of the stay, I almost tripped over one of the suitcases. So I asked my roommate, "Mark, where would you like me to put it?" "I don't think it's mine," Mark replied, and opened it to make sure. It turned out that we'd had someone else's suitcase in our room for 3 days. Its owner was in the same hotel on vacation, and he was delighted to have his missing suitcase returned to him. Three.
My husband and I flew to Arizona for the weekend, and when the luggage started coming out on the belt, I thought, what is that smell? I tried to ignore it, but when we were rolling the suitcase away, the smell followed us. We realized it was coming from our suitcase. It turned out that someone had checked in a huge container full of fish and it had leaked all over the passengers' luggage. It was awful. We immediately made a complaint. We had to get rid of our suitcase right there at the airport. The airline gave us a temporary suitcase, paid for a new one, and had all of our clothes cleaned.
Four. We were returning home from our holiday. About 30 minutes after we had left the terminal, my wife noticed that one of my bags was missing. It contained some important stuff, including my precious photographic equipment. I immediately realized that I hadn't collected it from the baggage reclaim. We rushed back to the airport. After running through the almost deserted terminal, we finally found a helpful staff member who was willing to sort out our problem. After a stressful search, we finally recovered the bag. Five.
Last summer, we went on holiday with some friends of ours. When we arrived at our destination, our friend's suitcase was already waiting for them, but our suitcase was nowhere to be seen, so we gave up and went to our hotel. We kept calling the airport every day, but every time we were told that the suitcase hadn't turned up yet. Right at the end of the holiday, the airport staff finally found it. It turned out that our suitcase had fallen off the trolley on the way from the plane to the terminal. No one seemed to have noticed it. We weren't very happy when we collected it just before boarding our plane home, but at least it wasn't damaged.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Looking for some career inspiration? Look no further than Brian Wong, the Canadian founder of Kip, a mobile advertising platform. Brian is also the author of a book with tips for young entrepreneurs. And he is with us today. Brian, you graduated from university when you were 18. How did that happen?
Well, the Canadian Ministry of Education launched a program for gifted students, which helped them skip some years of high school. I took advantage of this opportunity and skipped grades 2, 7, 9 and 11. Consequently, I was able to start university at the age of 14.
You also started your own business quite early, but then you gave it up and decided to work for somebody else. Why did you do that?
Well, I set up my first company during my studies. Running a business and doing university work at the same time wasn't really a problem for me. But at some point, I felt I had to learn business skills from somebody with more experience. It just makes sense to reach out to those who have been through it all before, so that you can gain more insight into running a business. When I came across a job offer at Digg, a Silicon Valley company, I decided to go for it. Unfortunately, the company got into financial difficulties, and after some time, it had to close down.
That must have been really hard. How did you deal with it?
Certainly, being laid off is tough, but it can also be the best thing that happens to you. It often becomes a stimulus to reconsider your career path. People often stick to the idea that their job is what they're going to do permanently, but you don't have to stay on the same track all your life. The skills you learn in one job are also applicable in others.
So what advice would you give to new graduates looking for their first job?
The key is really to figure out in what way you stand out. Which of the skills you have mastered give you an advantage over other applicants? Your university degree is extremely valuable, But there are other factors that matter, like other qualifications or even personality traits. The more unique you are, the more indispensable you might turn out to be. And that's the point.
Thank you, Brian.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Looking for some career inspiration? Look no further than Brian Wong, the Canadian founder of Kip, a mobile advertising platform. Brian is also the author of a book with tips for young entrepreneurs. And he is with us today. Brian, you graduated from university when you were 18. How did that happen?
Well, the Canadian Ministry of Education launched a program for gifted students, which helped them skip some years of high school. I took advantage of this opportunity and skipped grades 2, 7, 9 and 11. Consequently, I was able to start university at the age of 14.
You also started your own business quite early, but then you gave it up and decided to work for somebody else. Why did you do that?
Well, I set up my first company during my studies. Running a business and doing university work at the same time wasn't really a problem for me, but at some point I felt I had to learn business skills from somebody with more experience. It just makes sense to reach out to those who have been through it all before, so that you can gain more insight into running a business. When I came across a job offer at Digg, a Silicon Valley company, I decided to go for it. Unfortunately, the company got into financial difficulties, and after some time it had to close down.
That must have been really hard. How did you deal with it?
Certainly, being laid off is tough, but it can also be the best thing that happens to you. It often becomes a stimulus to reconsider your career path. People often stick to the idea that their job is what they're going to do permanently, but you don't have to stay on the same track all your life. The skills you learn in one job are also applicable in others.
So what advice would you give to new graduates looking for their first job?
The key is really to figure out in what way you stand out, which of the skills you have mastered give you an advantage over other applicants. Your university degree is extremely valuable, but there are other factors that matter, like other qualifications or even personality traits. The more unique you are, the more indispensable you might turn out to be. And that's the point.
Thank you, Brian.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.